like Dr. Demery said, dumb as a box of rocks.
and please.
Well, as far as the damage that they're doing to their children, I will say that it's a very horrible thing. I think parents in general have to answer for what they do to the children that they have been entrusted with. And so teaching your children to hate, teaching your children, to oppress other people just so you yourself can be, feel elevated. I think there's a special kind of, punishment, for those kind of folks, because we are entrusted with something so precious. Literally, when you have a child, you are literally holding the future in your hands. I mean, past, present, and future. Whatever you do right now with this particular kid is going to have a lasting effect on the entire world. And I know that you, like, there are 8 billion people in the world, but you only know the names of a few. True. But we all have some role to play. We are all interconnected. We all affect one another, whether we like it or not. That's just the truth of the matter. And so when you don't do what the Lord tells you to do, which is, you know, the Bible makes it really clear that parents should be like the archer, aiming their children at a particular star. But instead, you know, you aim them at the ground. And what I mean by that is you tell them they will be nothing. Treat them like they are nothing. And this is reinforced on a regular basis, whether you're molesting them, you know, like Dr. Sims was talking about, you know, mistreating their children, having children with their children, whether you're beating them, whether you're, you know, mentally and emotionally scarring them, whatever the case it is, you don't have to mistreat a child. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care where you live. I don't care what your color is. There is no reason to ever run a child down into the ground instead of lifting a child up and elevating them. I mean, even the worst kid, I heard somebody say, even if the child, you think the child won't be anything, you don't tell them that. You know what I'm saying? You always point them, you know, aim them high. So I think we as parents, when we fail to obey God in that particular sense, that's a sin on our part, and we have to pay for it, because God's words made it really clear. Now, we were talking a little while ago, and William said he wanted me to chime in on it too, so I looked this up, so we're gonna listen to it, about babies and their mothers and the connection between whether or not a child can feel what his mother can feel. Well, according to WebMD, they have a website called Grow by WebMD. And there's an article called Fetus to Mom, You're Stressing Me Out, and it's written by the WebMD editorial contributors. It's lengthy, but so I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read the relevant parts. And this is Dr. Calvin Hobel, a perinatologist in Los Angeles, has spent much of his career trying to document the effects of stress on pregnancy and to figure out how best to get pregnant women to relax. Not only does he see the importance clinically, but he's reminded of it daily. Beginning with his 45-minute commute to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, Dr. Hobel watches women putting on makeup in their cars, wolfing down bites of breakfast, and the clincher, pregnant women who come to yoga classes to learn how to relax have to take a breather to answer cell phones they just couldn't leave behind. Wow. Stress is such a familiar part of women's lives that many just squeeze the pregnancy right into all the hubbub. Even if women wonder whether it's bad for their developing fetuses, it's often hard to get a straight answer, mainly because most doctors don't know how much stress is too much or for whom. For one thing, a growing number of studies are confirming what used to be considered just an old wives' tale, that stress really isn't good for pregnant women. It not only increases the risk of preterm labor, but possibly a host of other problems for babies after birth. Even more important, and clearly more difficult to discern, researchers are close to being able to predict who's most susceptible to stress and at highest risk for complications such as preterm birth. In fact, some say it won't be long before healthcare providers have the tools to head off these problems before it's too late. Stress is a silent disease, says Dr. Hobel, director of maternal fetal medicine at Cedars-Sinai and a professor of obstetrics, gynecology, and pediatrics at University of California, Los Angeles. Pregnant women need to be educated in recognizing when they have stress, the consequences, and some of the simple things they can do to make a difference. So throughout the blueprint is the next part of it. Developmental biologists once thought fetuses were conceived with a blueprint from their parents' genes. As long as you gave the growing fetus the right nutrients and avoided harmful substances, this blueprint would develop into a healthy baby. That's not what experts believe anymore, says Dr. Pathak Wadhwa, assistant professor of behavioral science, obstetrics, and gynecology at University of Kentucky College of Medicine. This view has more or less been completely turned upside down, says Dr. Wadhwa, who is co-editing a special issue of scientific papers on pregnancy and stress to be published in Health Psychology next year. At each stage of development, the organism uses cues from its environment to decide how best to construct itself within the parameters of its genes. Stress is an example of how a fetus responds to stimuli in the womb and adapts physiologically. When the mother is stressed, several biological changes occur, including elevation of stress hormones and increased likelihood of intrauterine infection, says Dr. Wadhwa. The fetus builds itself permanently to deal with this kind of high-stress environment, and once it's born, may be at greater risk for a whole bunch of stress-related pathologies. Preterm births and low birth weight are among the most recognized effects of maternal stress during pregnancy, established over nearly two decades of animal and human research. Recent studies by Dr. Wadhwa and colleagues suggest that women who experience high levels of psychological stress are significantly more likely to deliver preterm. Typically, one in 10 women delivers preterm before 37 weeks. Preterm babies are susceptible to a range of complications later, including chronic lung disease, developmental delays, learning disorders, and infant mortality. That's even compelling evidence from epidemiological studies and animal research that babies who experience stress in utero are more likely to develop chronic health problems as adults, such as heart disease, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Most recently, some studies are suggesting that stress in the womb can affect a baby's temperament and neurobehavioral development. Infants whose mothers experienced high levels of stress while pregnant, particularly in the first trimester, show signs of more depression and irritability. In the womb, they also are slower to habituate or tune out repeated stimuli, a skill that in infants is an important predictor of IQ. Who are you and what you're like when you're pregnant will affect who that baby is, says Janet DePietro, a developmental psychologist at Johns Hopkins University. Women's psychological functioning during pregnancy, their anxiety level, stress, personality, ultimately affects the temperament of their babies. It has to. The baby is awash in all the chemicals produced by the mom. So how does a mom's stress get passed onto their fetus? Researchers aren't exactly sure which stress response play the largest role, but it's clear that when a pregnant woman experiences anxiety, their body produces chemicals that affect the baby too. Their nervous system, for instance, stimulates the release of epinephrine or norepinephrine, stress hormones that constrict blood vessels and reduce oxygen to the uterus. Since a very significant decrease in blood flow is probably necessary to compromise development of the fetus, Dr. Wawa says that another stress response is more likely to affect fetal growth and preterm labor. That is, when pregnant women experience stress, particularly in the first trimester, the placenta increases production of corticotropin-releasing hormone, also known as CRH, which regulates the duration of pregnancy and fetal maturation. CRH is one of the most exciting recent scientific discoveries that could explain why women go into labor when they do. Called the placental clock, CRH levels measured in the mother's blood early in pregnancy, between 16 and 20 weeks, can predict the onset of labor months later. those with the highest levels will likely deliver prematurely, and those with lowest levels are apt to deliver past their due dates. And it appears that stressful events occurring during the first trimester are most critical in signaling early labor. That's very important because it used to be thought exactly the opposite, that women become fragile as term approaches. Indeed, our data suggests that women become psychologically stronger, says Dr. Kurt Sandman, professor and vice chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at University of California, Irvine. Monitoring CRH levels and managing stress that early in pregnancy may have important implications in reducing preterm delivery, says Dr. Christine Dunkel-Shedder, a professor of psychology at UCLA. Dr. Dunkel-Shedder is working on two studies, one with Drs. Wadhad, Hobo, and Sandman, to determine who is at highest risk for preterm birth and what types of stresses are the biggest contributors. It appears we will be able to show that stress in pregnant women early in pregnancy leads to an early rise in CRH, which then leads to an early delivery, she says. What we can't do yet is diagnose which women are most at risk, but we're close. And very soon, it will be appropriate for women to be asking their doctors if their level of stress should be assessed systematically. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it, but I think if you listen to what the article is saying, the most important time during a pregnancy in terms of the stress level of the mother tends to be the first trimester, which is what is the focal point of what with the abortion debate. Okay. So if you've got a mom who is already stressed out about this pregnancy, how she got pregnant, you know, what she's going to do to take care of the baby, all this type of anxiety. And then not only that, we already know that we have a high infant mortality rate and a high maternal mortality rate in this country. By the way, Arkansas is number one, tied with Mississippi when it comes to infant mortality and maternal mortality rates. That's how bad it is here. And of course, they are so against abortion. So it lets you know that what is going on with these women who are, you know, carrying babies to term when they're dealing with stress in their lives, especially anxiety about the future. I mean, what if they're in one of those situations where they're being, you know, beaten by the person or stalked by the person or whatever the case may be with whom they're pregnant by. There's a whole lot going on, not just with the mother, but with the baby. And then when you are in an area that cares very little about the life of the mother, on top of that, and the risk of the mother dying, it's a recipe for disaster, not to mention, you know, the impact on the child, if it does make it, to term, or rather, we'll say if it is birth, having impacts on that child later on in life. Now, I've said already, I am not pro-life, and have not been since college. When I thought a friend of mine who was poor, grew up poor, got pregnant, and I'm like, you know good and well, you can't afford this. You know this. And I thought, hands down, she should have an abortion. And I literally was upset with her because I thought she had ruined her life. And God flipped the whole script. She and her baby thrived. And I mean thrived to the point where she had money in the bank, saved up type of thriving. And as a single mother, doing extremely well. So for that reason, I no longer believe in abortion as a method of birth control. I do believe in abortion as healthcare for young girls and for the infants that they are carrying as well, because babies do get sick in the womb. They do die in the womb. They do pose a threat to the mother's life when that type of thing happens. Nevertheless, I think we still have another issue here with putting stress on women unnecessarily that affects them and their fetuses long term. But Dr. Demery, if you think I'm wrong, I'm listening.
Oh, no, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think I agree with you 100%. And I think the article is you know, speaks the truth.
What? You're not complaining about me reading?
I was listening to the content of the article. That was the
yeah, that was good.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that y'all enjoyed it. Doctor, I'm
sorry. I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if you all remember, I had the McGee's on, and I know William remembers mm-hmm. this. I had the McGee's on Miss Cece's Kitchen, and she was, when she got pregnant, and she didn't have any help, and God blessed her to carry 7 babies at one time.
Wow.
However, when she got pregnant, per her story, the doctors recommended that she abort 6 of them.
Mm.
Now, the doctor recommended that. I have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the doctor is, and it wasn't because of her, and I don't believe she had to basically, and I know they were caring about her health. Let me back that up and clear that up. They were considering her health and carrying 7 children at one time. She said it scared her so bad. She didn't know that they could do that. And number one, it caused more fear and anxiety in her, should I say. And the article that you read was very excellent, but it caused more fear in her by them suggesting that. Mm-hmm. And by mm-hmm. her being a God-fearing woman, her and her husband prayed about it. And I think, William, you were there when the topic was baby daddies at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was very instrumental. She was basically bedridden to carry these children. She had all 7 of them, but I think about a month or so, God took one. And so she was able, that's why they call them sextuplets. But she said, had she had listened to the doctor, then she would have aborted 6 of those babies.
6 of them.
Six of the babies. She would have kept one. They told her to keep one, okay? And they would have aborted 6 of the children. And they would have died in the interim. And so when I think about that, I guess I'm not so sure about some doctors playing God like that. Okay. I have somewhat of an issue because what is that? When they check the baby to see if the baby's going to be retarded.
Amniocentesis.
Thank you. That's it. When they check to see if the baby's going to be retarded. To me, it's like, you're at the hands of these doctors and to tell you what is what. And so maybe because so many down the course of the line, they have been lied to by some doctors because they're practicing medicine. And the key word to me is practice.
Practice.
But anyway, for them to take a life like that without the certainty, and you've had mothers that says, no, I'm going to keep my baby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it comes here with Down syndrome or whatever, okay? And they elected to keep the child. I mean, what do you do? I've never had to face that, and I don't know, and I don't believe you have either. Look at me speaking for you. I'm sorry. Okay, anyway. For those who face that, you know, that's, to me, that is such a pressure that's put on a woman.
I think some of that is standard for people who get go to fertility clinics because what they do is they implant multiple fertilized eggs inside the mother and they hope at least one will attach.
Okay.
And so if multiple ones attach, they can recommend something called multiple pregnancy abortion.
That's
In order to increase the likelihood of the pregnancy going to term, and supposedly, you know, positively affect the mother's health as well as the baby's health. Because the more fetuses the more babies, I hate when people say fetuses, like they're not human beings, but the more babies a person carries at a time, the less space there is in the uterus, of course. And they recommend delivering earlier and earlier. Like, you know, normally you would, as Dr. Sims and I know, carry a baby 40 weeks when you are pregnant with one child. Well, when it's 2 children, they take them early. I think around 36 weeks or something like that.
It is 36 weeks, but then some of them, and they carry to term.
Right, because they refuse. It's like, no, you can't take my babies. Yeah. But if the doctors have their way, they're going to deliver the kids sooner rather than later. And I think it's that way. The more kids you have, the less time they want all those babies in the womb. Now, don't quote me on that because I'm not a doctor, but I think that's the way that that goes. That, you know, they, now they do stuff nowadays to help with that. Like they give pregnant women, with high risk pregnancies, they give the baby steroids, in order to stimulate, growth, of the internal organs and whatnot, sooner so that their lungs will be fully developed and they're less likely, you know, to be preemies, that type of thing. But still, I think, it's a real hard decision. It would be a very difficult decision for me if I'm the mother, because I wouldn't want any of my babies to be hurt. I just,
that's right.
I just wouldn't. So how do you do that? But that said, you know, I agree with Reverend Demery when you've got these people like Herschel Walker, claiming that there shouldn't be any abortion, you know, no matter the circumstances. Well, number one, you're not this particular person. You know, yeah, they may have had difficulty getting pregnant, but they don't have the resources, the money, the people who are around you to help you take care of your family. They don't have that to help them take care of seven kids. So what do you do? I mean, I remember this one woman, she was on Oprah, if I'm not mistaken, she kept all of her babies. And so she literally needed a team of nannies to help her take care of all the kids that she had because it was just her. Mm-hmm. And luckily some people, you know, donated money and stuff to her, but you can't work when you gotta take care of six babies at one time and you are not financially independent. You just can't. All your money would go to daycare. So how are you gonna pay for, you know, housing? How are you gonna pay for food? How are you gonna pay for transportation? And then think about it. How do you transport six kids at one time? What car do you notice that's that big? You need a van.
You need a minivan.
Something like that. Not to mention the fact that they gotta have car seats. I mean, it's more than a notion. So these people have some serious things to think about, you know, when it comes to taking care of their children. And it's not for us to willy-nilly say, yeah, I'm gonna make this decision for you. God doesn't do that. God gives us free will. Who are you to take it away?
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I tell you, I agree with this. And I also listened to that article that you're reading about stress. And people underestimate how stress can kill. There was a friend of mine, friend of mine, he used to say, stress will bust a pipe. What do you think that'll do to a human?
Right.
It will bust a pipe. And that is absolutely true. And people are stressed out here. And can I hate for any mother to be stressed while she's carrying the baby, because to me, I believe she passes that on. Now, also you can relate, perhaps, and in my opinion, okay, I'm not an expert on this, but stress also can lead to suicide.
Indeed it can.
It's suicide. And let me give you the top 10 states in the United States. Number one is Wyoming, 29.3, Alaska, 28.5, and this is per 1,000, okay? Montana, 26.2, New Mexico, 24, Colorado, 22.1, Utah, 21.2, South Dakota, 20.9, Oklahoma, 20.5, Oregon, 20.4, Idaho, 20.4, and then Nevada around, well, number 11 is Nevada, 19.8. Well, they probably stressed.
California's not in there?
Really? California is all the way down. Wow. Let me see what's going on. Is number 46.
It's amazing these gun-toting states are the ones.
That's exactly right. Look, I'm telling you.
Gun-toting states are hound.
Well, I'm telling you what. Ironically, these people, these gun-toting MAGA fools, most of these happen in the red states. States, folks. Wyoming, okay? That's red, ain't it? Oh, man, Montana. Utah, South Dakota, Oklahoma. Yeah, they got South Dakota got a nut job of a governor there too. Idaho.
Aren't those mostly your redneck states too?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay.
Because you got West Virginia at 14, Arizona at 13, All right. And then followed by Missouri, Kansas, North Dakota, Arkansas is number 18. You got Tennessee at number 20. Iowa, Kentucky, Alabama, 21, 22, and 23. South Carolina, 24. Nebraska, number 25. Yep. Mostly red up at the top.
Right. Right. I knew it.
And these are the people that wants to run the country. And I tell you, another scary thought is that I believe it was something like close to 290 of the election deniers who happen to be Republican. Oh, boy, isn't that ironic? No, but not really. Right. They are running for offices, governors, AGs. Folks, that's why it's so important to get out there and vote. Because now the midterms, a lot of us ignore those, but you take your governors, okay, your attorney generals, your district attorneys, I mean, judges. Look at that nut job of a judge that was that Donald Trump appointed. Who was that? Amy Cannon, I believe that's one. And can she be? What would it take for her to be removed from the bench?
Okay, judges who are federal on the federal level. That's different. You have to go through an impeachment process with them too. They're appointed to their positions for life. So you've got to go through a lengthy process. Now, it has happened in the past, but it's rare that a judge gets impeached and loses his or her seat on the bench. So that's one of those things that could happen, but don't bank on it happening. It probably is not gonna happen anytime soon. But I know that you're upset, William.
You know I am.
Now, what may be more likely is judges, are bound by the judicial canon. So now it's possible for the judge to be disciplined for ethics violations. So that may be something that would be more likely to occur. But I wouldn't bank on one bad decision getting somebody. It's got to be egregiously bad for something like that to happen.
So. Well, let me give you an example of egregious. Okay, how about that beer drinker that's in the the builder, the one that likes beer. Okay, that's on the Supreme Court. You know what I'm talking about? Yep.
Ooh, that,
yep.
The dirt,
yep. Yep. Beer drinking Kavanaugh. And then we also got, Clarence Sambo Thomas. That one. Yep.
Now,
him.
Clarence Thomas, given his wife's, Jesus.
Come on.
Behavior. If anybody's in danger of being close to it, it would be him.
I hope so.
If there's anybody that's going to be in any kind of trouble. I'm not saying that it will happen. I'm saying that if, were to have somebody that's in danger of being impeached, it might be him, depending on if they can prove that he was aware of his wife's, not just what she was doing, but that it influenced him as a judge on the bench as well. Mm-hmm. Not to mention some other things that they've, come up with, revealed, like him, praying with people and, involved in certain cases in his chambers. And that, so if anybody's, got some issues, he is the one, in my opinion,
who's
got some issues that might make him likely to be impeached. Now, that said, we'll see. I truly think that we are on the precipice of a major shift in either the right or the wrong direction. And we're already trending in the wrong direction. But if we aren't careful, because, you're talking about these people running for office, What people aren't realizing is that they have scared off a lot of folks who work in the voting sector. And now these crazy people are trying to take over those positions.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be the ones who are, you know, overseeing the vote count. They want to be the ones who are working with it. And so if you got folks who are that, so that hard line, who are willing to cheat to get by, you've got not only to get these people to come out and vote Democratic, but you also need people to be brave enough to take on those positions to say, okay, I care enough about my future, the future of our country, the future of the next generation, you know, my kids, that I'm willing to go face this type of mess, because they are calling these people, harassing them. They are, you know, going to their homes. These people are insane. And so they have run a lot of folks who have worked in the voting sector off their jobs. And who is going to be doing the job now? Not to mention the fact that they've changed the laws in a lot of places so they can make it easier to steal an election. We have a serious problem, America. And I'm glad Joe Biden finally came out and made, and said something about it. But the Democrats should have been sounding the alarm the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
We should be keeping up, you know, the pressure on everybody who came out to vote for Biden. All y'all need to show up again, in November and at your local, you know, elections too, so that this thing can get turned around. Because if it doesn't, I don't know if I've said it, you know, for a long time, since like 2016, you know, while America is still America for a little while longer, I don't know if we're going to have an America after a while.
You're right.
If y'all don't stop this.
You're right. And stop this stuff. When they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, I'm kicking somebody in the groin. Kicking.
But that's the thing. You know, I really do admire the Democratic Party for trying to keep American people calm, and, you know, for not wanting to behave like the Republicans are behaving and have been behaving. But folks, we are getting to the point where actually we are past the point. These people are violent.
I mean,
if January 6th didn't prove it to you, if Charlottesville didn't prove it to you, if all these other violent acts that they have been doing haven't proven it to you, there is a point where, yes, we do want to, you know, be the peace loving people that we are. Yes, we do want to, you know, not get to the point where we are fighting these folks. But I do think that these people have made it clear they are willing to do that.
They will kill you.
They're willing to fight dirty. Yeah,
they will kill you.
And I was thinking, I said, you know what? And we have been addressing this. I said, we don't have to worry about the Ukraine or Russia or China. There's going to be a war within the United States the American people because of the good old boys, okay?
The Proud Boys and
or whoever
the 3%ers.
But they are arming themselves. They already made it clear more than one time under their declaration. Something's getting ready to go down, okay? Trump even said it out of his mouth. If things don't happen, then guess what? In other words, what he was saying, there's going to be a repercussion behind this.
That's right.
And listen, people need to recognize, and I don't understand how they can, maybe it's just me, I don't get it, but how they would, with Trump under investigation like he is, how he can still be on the campaign trail, that gets me. That really...
They don't even know if he under investigation. They don't listen to the people telling about Trump being under investigation. And if they do, they spend it with Trump's lies. Trump, you know, Trump sat on, was it Fox? One of those people, and they were interviewing him about the documents of Mar-a-Lago. This fool said that they were at Mar-a-Lago looking for Hillary Clinton's laptop.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Great.
Why would you have Hillary Clinton's server if you wanted her locked up? And why would the FBI be at your house looking for that? It didn't even make sense. The dude interviewing him was even like, what? I mean, it was absolute insanity. But they listen to him and they believe any and everything he says. And then even if they know it's a lie, they don't care.
They don't care.
And that's the difference. You can't tell me you are a Christian and you love a lie. God says lying is an abomination. God loves righteousness. God loves justice. Right. You ain't got the love of the Father in you if that is what you are backing. It's just not possible.
And he's been proven to be a known liar.
Known. Look.
And he will tell a lie on top of the lie. Yeah, that's what gets me.
I think his first 2 years, I think it was over 20,000 lies he had told me. Good Lord. I mean,
he don't tell good lies. It's one thing to lie. It's another thing to get out a marker and draw yourself on a board and hold it up and expect everybody to think that this is the way. Hold on. So the professional board that was created by the scientists, we should ignore that and deal with your Crayola color
handmade
sign that says this is, you have time to work on your lie. You got all day. You got a whole team of people. You can't do better than this.
No.
And they don't care. They will believe a simple, just blatant lie, rather than believe the truth. That's how their ears itch. That's how deceived they are by the devil.
Well,
look, I'm telling you, a whole different level of stupidity. A whole different level. You know, and just like we were talking about earlier, you know, we were talking about Candace Owens and how she can say something stupid and sound like it's somewhat intelligent to those that are dumber than she is, okay?
That's because this is business for her.
Right.
This is business. See, you know what I'm saying?
Right. The difference with Trump, why do you think the man is hiding his transcripts? He knows he's stupid.
You know what? I don't need to see Trump's transcripts.
I don't care
if he says straight A's. I hear him speak. You know what I'm saying? 1 + 1 = 2. I don't care if you pay somebody to fix your transcript. I know you can't put two sentences together that make coherent sense because I have heard you not be able to talk properly. Mm-hmm. So it don't matter what the transcripts say. And I'm sorry, Dr. Demery, I didn't mean to cut you off when you mean.
Dr. Demery.
What did you want to say?
No, I just going back to the abortion thing, to throw another thought and a kink into the philosophical process. Now, on the other hand, I am very much against, I'll say it again, I am very much against late-term abortions. Mm. Because there are Democrats and liberal people on their end that will say that, you know, we can have late term abortions. When I say late term, I'm talking like 6 months, 7 months. That's insanity.
You're talking third trimester.
Right.
Second
or third.
Pull the fetus out and the baby has a heartbeat, crying, hollering and all that.
Ooh.
And the child,
no.
If they will do anything, they will just kill the child.
No.
Inject saline. That is insanity. Mm-hmm. And I disagree with that. As much as those knuckleheads on the other end, on the far right end, which would say, you know, you need to not give an abortion no matter what circumstance.
Except for when it comes to them, Dr. Demery. Yeah, except when it comes to them. Danny? Yeah. Except for, you know, this is the thing about it, Dr. Demery. I agree with you. Third trimester, I think that's always been, I think that was the rule. That you could not have an abortion in the third trimester.
There's some on the far left which will say you can have late-term abortion.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
If it's medical, if
you're doing an abortion at 6-7 months, that's insane.
Well, like Ann said, if both the baby and the mother are going to die in that situation, I think that has to be some exceptions put in place. If that baby, if the doctor says, look, your baby is not going to make it, and you may not make it either. There has to be some exceptions put in place.
They still give the mother a choice, though.
I'm talking about a healthy fetus.
Healthy?
Now that's crazy. If the baby's perfectly healthy.
That's a whole different situation, Dr. Demery. That's a whole different situation there. But Danny, what's your take on this? Because I feel the same way Dr. Demery and the rest of the panel does, too. When that baby has formed and you did this the third trimester, I mean, you know, no, you just don't do that out of convenience. You got a healthy fetus. Conversely, if there is danger that the mother or the baby might die, then I think that then the mother can make a decision there. I think that should be her choice. What's your take, Danny?
I agree with each one of you that at that point, you know, it's senseless to do that because you're taking, actually taking away something that's actually, even though in the birth sac, is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make sense.
Right.
The other thing that I speak more to is that when we have such people with mindsets of what we are witnessing, you know, just like Dr. Taylor says, she don't need to see his transcript. She can just listen to him. And if you just listen to these people and how some of them, a lot of them running now, will be asked a point-blank question that they will not answer.
All of them.
When it comes to their thoughts about if they believe that the election was legal and all of this thing, they skip around that. So that shows me right there. Mm-hmm. Here's a person that's hiding behind something that's mysterious to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you unable to make a direct answer to a question like that?
Mm-hmm. Because, go ahead, Danny.
So when I, you know, just like I heard you say and Dr. Dimmer say, y'all don't believe in the generation of curses, and you're absolutely right. Because in Jeremiah 31 and 29, it talks about the new covenant that God has made with us. So each man has to stand on his own works.
Mm.
But the sins that I talk about that can set the children's teeth on edge is this. If you continue with the same traditional way and beliefs that this family had back in, when your great-great-grandfather was doing it, and you doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results because you're going to end up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not so much as a generational thing. It has to do with each individual that's involved. Mm-hmm. You know, so everybody that's standing in right will receive what is right for them. Mm-hmm. Everybody's standing in wrong, no matter how slick they did it, how cool they did it, how easily they got it past everybody. Doesn't matter. You're going to reap what you've sown.
Mm-hmm.
Of harvest.
Yeah, perfectly said. Perfectly said. And, you know, I tell you, this is the thing about it. Because there's so many things you know, if you're born into poverty, that's not your fault, okay? If there's opportunities out there for you and you don't take advantage of them and you remain in poverty, then you have a lot of blame to take on yourself. You can't, and see, the thing about it, we have a generation of people that want to put blame on everything else. Now, there are some things out here. You take racism, for instance. That's real. Okay, that is real. There are a lot of things out here that's real that people aren't making up, and you can't get around it, right? And there's a reason why you have more crime in poor areas. I was checking out a podcast earlier and was talking about crime in the black neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime, but not in all black neighborhoods. The more poverty-stricken areas, that's where you find the most crime. But now I'll tell you something else. There's also, if you look at the statistics and they talk about black men in particular being of a violent species and the most violent people in America, that's a lie. That's a total lie. If you go and look at the statistics, there is a the Bureau of National Statistics, I believe that's what it's called, and if you look up, you look at the people, and men especially, let's talk about men, that commit the most crimes. They are not black folks, all right? When you can talk about serial killers, the people who are dominating that field right there, they are not black folks. Mm-hmm. They are not black. The mass murders out here, they are not black that's doing that. The major crimes, they are not black people. Who do you think, and then you say, well, The United States has a drug problem. But don't look over here. I didn't bring them in here. Okay, don't look in my direction.
The thing is, white people use more drugs and black people sell more drugs.
That's not true either.
They're saying.
Okay, that's not true either. Because you got, as far as usage is concerned, okay, I don't know whether you could say black people use more. And
they say white people use more drugs.
And they sell more. And I'm gonna tell you what. Let me make a point. Then Dr. Sims wants to jump in here. She wants to jump in. I know you do, Dr. Sims. That's okay. Okay. I tell you why this is a lie. Because when is the last time a black person had a ship cargo bringing drugs over here or a plane over here? Okay, doing that. Or even, now you know there it was a pipeline or underground line from Mexico into the United States. They find in tunnels all the time. Okay. We didn't do that. Okay. I tell you something else. Let's go back to Dr. Demery. Jump in here real quick. Remember Oliver North? Remember Oliver North and the Iran controversy? All right. Oliver North was importing dropping crack cocaine in the black neighborhoods. That is a fact. That is a fact.
Weapons to do so.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, folks, what happens is it's projection. And the reason why, when you look at TV, or if you go out to the store and you want to buy some aluminum foil, you're going to buy Reynolds Wrap. In most cases, now, some of us, we're going to check our dollars, right? And so we might buy a cheaper brand. But see, that stuff ain't no good, right? Or you go out and buy soup, you go buy Campbell's soup. Okay? All right? And if you go out and buy a soft drink, I'm going to buy Pepsi. I hate Shasta. That's the cheap picnic stuff. Okay? So don't come to my house with no Shasta. Don't do that.
Well, they're not going to put you on a commercial.
Shasta, okay, we didn't call it Shasta. We called it purple, gray. We called it purple, red, and orange, and they were good.
So was
so
was Kool-Aid.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so was Kool-Aid. All right,
strong,
so go on.
And they were real strong too.
Well, I was raised up on Shasta, okay?
What did you say?
You
got to raise up off the Shasta, purple, okay, red, and
orange. So listen. You know, when you're talking about the drugs in our neighborhoods and what have you, and you're absolutely right. We did not have the wherewithal to bring them there. Let me tell you something. They strategically used us, okay, and are still continuing to use us. They're making us look like the big drug cartel.
That's right.
The picture that they're painting to a nation. But what it is, the big drug cartel is from the White House. Okay, come on. To Mexican border. I work 5 miles from the Mexican border. They are ruthless. And when you're talking about tunnels and things like that underground, they said, in fact, they did a special, and my son had me to look it up. They have tunnels everywhere, all under California, all into Arizona, because they come through Texas, they're elaborate tunnels, okay? And they're finding out that there's some streets are caving in. If you get these manholes like up in L.A. and stuff like that, that's because of tunnels up under there. And they won't mention that. But the thing is, getting back to us, we didn't have the guns. Who dropped them off in our neighborhood?
Okay? That's right.
And what they did was they gave the black man, the black community, a sense of power. They made them think that they have such a sense of power. You can do this. And many didn't have enough money, okay, a lot of money, because it's poor neighborhoods. You drop that kind of resource on them, most of them act a fool because they never knew how to handle the money. Look at what's going on today. You look at people who get a couple of dollars, and I'm not against money because it's the way you use it. The first thing they want to do is pay thousands and thousands of dollars with these big necklaces and things like that. Just look at what is going on here. It's because they know that this is a people who did not have much. So what better way than to work the mind and make them think that they are in control, and they are not in control. They're making us look like we're the big drug cartel. And William said it best. We're not the ones that have the big ships and the big trucks and all of that that's bringing the stuff in here. and they're bringing it to the neighborhoods. But the drug cartel are the higher up. Okay. It's not us. We're just the little man helping them push the stuff. That's all.
Well, this is nothing new under the sun. It's been done before. If you go back and look, that's basically how the Europeans funded the Industrial Revolution. They sold opium to the Chinese, and they had a lot of the Chinese people, like a million Chinese. You got to think about back then, that's a whole lot of people to be drug addicts all at one time. And so they used the money to pay for, you know, their more modern lifestyle that they were developing. So this isn't anything new. It happened before, and it, depending on how long the Lord lets the world go on, it'll probably happen again. The thing that also isn't new is getting the people who are being oppressed and preyed upon to participate in this. So, you know, you got to smuggle the drug. They had to smuggle the drugs into China. So guess who had to be on the receiving end? The Chinese people. And so it's the same thing with the Black community. You do have some people taking advantage of their own, of the weaknesses of certain people in their, in their neighborhoods and their environments so that they themselves can live more comfortable lives. I think that is one of the most cowardly things you can do, to prey on somebody else's weaknesses in order to build yourself up,
That's right.
To make yourself a bit more comfortable in life. Now, agreed, we are probably not going to be at the top of the pyramid 9 times out of 10. You got a whole lot of different folks involved in this. You got
politicians.
Politicians, we like you said before, they revealed that the CIA was involved with, you know, using drugs, or rather selling drugs into the Black community in order to raise money. That's been put out there for quite some time. Then you've got the fact that you've got the local drug dealers and my other minority communities who participated in this mess. So let's just put it this way. Human beings are inhumane to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got minority people involved, and more than likely the people running the stuff, white folks, let's just keep it real, were the ones who are at the top of this. But at the end of the day, what you got is sinful man being evil and low down towards his and her own brothers and sisters. That's the crux of it. The thing of it is that you now have these suckers disguised as Christians trying to steal a whole way of life.
Right.
And that is the problem that we are faced with. This particular generation has a huge, huge problem that needs to be resolved if America is going to survive. Because these folks are putting on the mantle of Christianity, ain't got a lick of Jesus in them, and they are leading astray a whole generation of folks. They're claiming that America was always a Christian nation. What history book have you been reading?
That part.
America was not always a Christian nation. America was founded on the principle of freedom of religion, because the folks coming here have been oppressed in their religion. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they are given a very skewed version of history and a very skewed version of reality. And not only that, they are very, very much violently against the truth of history, the truth of the way that we live now, being taught to the current generation. That's a problem. If you look at history, they did that when they enslaved everybody, when they oppressed everybody. They skewed history, they skewed the facts so that it was positive only from their point of view. God says, "My people suffer from a lack of knowledge." Some translations, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." If we don't get this nipped in the bud, we're going to have a real serious problem. Yeah. I mean, we already got a serious problem.
We do.
Just basically going to have a society that is in not just decline, but is a thing of the past. America is not going to be America.
It's deteriorating. And let me jump in real quick. All right. Contrary to popular belief, if you were asked, the public right now, and tell you what the danger these people are, like Fox News and this OAM and these other whack job media places, right? Whether it's TV or social media or whatever it is. If you ask them, what is the highest, what city or what state has the highest murder rate per capita?
They say California, Los Angeles, something like
that. Oh, they would say Chicago, California, whatever it is.
All the black areas.
The black areas. Let me tell you something. Okay, let me just give you this real fact. And this is something that I read several weeks ago. The rate of murders in the United States has gone up at an alarming rate. And this is going to tie in with just what you said. They will twist the narrative to make you think that something is that isn't. Okay? Turn on. But despite a media narrative to the contrary, this is a problem that affects Republican-run cities and states as much or more than the Democratic bastions, okay? In 2020, per capita, rates were 40% higher in states won by Donald Trump than those won by Biden. 8 of the 10 states with the highest murder rates in 2020 voted for Republican presidential nominee in every election this city. Every news outlet from Fox to CNN to the New York Times to local newspapers has a story with attention grabbing headlines like U.S. cities hit all-time murder records. Fox News and Republicans have jumped on this and framed it as a Democratic problem. They blame it on a Democrat soft on crime approach, as they have referred to New York District Attorney's approach, right? Now, there is a measure of truth in those stories the U.S. saw, and okay, there's something else that I skipped here, okay, but I'm going to go right on. There's a measure of truth in those stories. The U.S. saw an alarming 30% increase in murder in 2020, while in 2021, the data has not been complete. But again, 8 out of the 10 states. And guess what? I was reading something else. And a lot of people will say, well, who is it, right? Let's see. You were talking by state, okay? Check this out. Number 1, Alabama. Number 2, Alaska. Number 3, Arizona. Number 4, Arkansas. California is number 5, then Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois. And as a matter of fact, Illinois is down there. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Now, the last time I checked, Chicago is in Illinois.
Yeah, that's where it is. All day, every day.
Well, let me break it down for you. No, I'm gonna break it. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. I get an A on that one teacher. Okay.
Right. I
tell you.
And do they say who committed those murders and
through? Oh, absolutely.
Group or being murdered?
White men.
In all provocation, the way I see on the news is that it's committed by people outside of our race.
To break it down, and I'm just going to give you the facts the way I read them. Mm-hmm. White men caused the most murders in the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay? Most major crimes are, like I said, they are not done by us. However, the media wants to paint it that way. It's projection, folks. So guess what? People believe what's on TV. Folks, don't you know most of TV is fantasy?
You know.
It's there to entertain. It's not there to educate you. And if you listen, if you're getting your facts from Fox News, I feel sorry for you. Because you're not getting facts. You know, you're getting fairy tales. Folks, I can't believe.
The art of confusion, sometimes they make it's real, but because they have bamboozled you for so long, you don't believe that it is real. So it'll make it look as though it is fictitious, just like these court cases. They will paint a picture, and then they will show you the video. You see somebody choking somebody out and shooting them point blank. That's not what happened. You don't see them choking him out. He's not raping her. Oh, no. He didn't come up and shoot him point blank. He was doing something else. That was a stun gun, and you see a Magnum 38 or whatever, okay? And they will tell you. They will literally take that to court, and they will paint a total different delusional picture. And we are always, our minds are always being put in a state of, is it live or Memorex? Okay?
You're right.
Yeah, because we have to really learn how to decipher what is truth and what is not truth. Amen. Because we have been brainwashed for years. So here, and take it to the church, Dr. Sims. You know, that's my wheelhouse right there. Okay. And I know I ain't got time. I went country. We don't have time to talk about that.
Ooh.
But I'm telling you, it is everywhere. And I'm not down on, I'm down on the people who do that same type of mojo. But for the most part, we have to come to the knowledge of ourselves.
We better
study what's real. And most time, you better get out and pray and ask God. I'm an advocate of that. And ask God, Lord, show me what is real.
Amen. I'm telling you.
There's too much stuff. Does he love me or does he not? Okay. Do she love me or do she not? What's the motive? You have a right to ask that. And people don't like to talk this mm-hmm. way, but I'm coming with it, okay? You don't like me? All right. Call me up 951.
Don't give him your number.
No, she'll give
you your number.
She gives her number out all the time. She gives, yeah. She should. And you know, and you're so right, and we are out of time, unfortunately. So, Dr. Sims, we were going to pick this up because, again, we've been or the society has been brainwashed. That's why you have so many nut jobs out here, and you write so many of them in the pulpit. Oh, we're going to jump in the pulpit next week. Oh, God, we're going to take it to the pulpit, Danny. Hey, Danny, any closing remarks?
No, just that it's been a very knowledgeable show for me, just listening and hearing a lot of the stats and different things, but it still always goes back to the wrong people getting in positions of authority. We have to vote,
mm-hmm.
and we must excommunicate these people from the roles of serving the people.
That's right.
Because they're not serving the people. They're serving their own self-interest and their own greed problem.
That's right. You know, and another thing, if you have somebody that's talking on both sides of their lips, now, why would you ever want to vote for them? Dr. Demery, hey, where is your church, brother?
I am in Mentone, California on Barrel Avenue and Highway 38. You see three crosses, you found us.
Yep. Wow. And don't go too fast because you'll miss it.
Don't blink.
Don't blink. Dr. Sims, hey, you have a show coming up Thursday. The name, yes. Oh, thank you so much. Dr. Sims let me on her show last week. I said, I felt so privileged.
What?
Prayer. He really needs prayer because I told him I was doing solo. Tell the truth, shame the devil. I told him that I was doing solo
mm-hmm.
and I might ask him a question. Well, yeah. What he did was send me like a little chat, private chat. I'm back. It was 30 minutes prior. He got testy because I still took up my time and I says, well, William, I'll give you a few minutes. And he go, let me clear my throat.
Yep, I did.
30 minutes. I never told you.
Yes, she said, I'm going to ask you a few questions. I said, wait a minute, hold it.
No, the key word, you miss out on key words, bro.
Uh-huh.
It's may. May means there is not a possibility or it might be a possibility. Let's put it down.
No, see, okay.
I told you, no, I'm going to correct you.
Yeah, go ahead and correct me.
Out there that's not right.
Okay.
So it is what it is. It's just you got, I told you, get your feelings off your shoulders.
Because I did not
tell you you was going to be on there.
And I told you, you should have
gave you time. You said, I want to thank Dr. Sims for giving me this. I'm like, you know what, bro? I'm the right one.
You know what? I'm gonna call you up. You're going to have a call.
We have nothing to dialogue.
Yes, we look at you. I'm going to give you a call after the show. Absolutely.
Miss Cece's Kitchen, that's my show.
Yeah, that is your show. And I told you should have called my publicist.
In your head and getting testy.
I told you should have called my publicist in the first place.
On Saturdays at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time, please tune in to the Eating as an Active Worship Ministries radio show. And following that, it's 12 o'clock noon. You don't want to miss the segment.
That's right. That's right. And the next time, Dr. Sims, you call my booking agent, okay?
I'm not calling no booking agent. You gotta take over this. Sit down, settle down. You'll be calling when I need you. Hello.
Oh, look here. I've got a song for you right now on the way out. Have a good night, everybody. It's been my pleasure, folks. This is Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network, and you've just been listening to another hilarious episode of The Boomerang Radio Show, starring Dr. Cecilia Sims, Danny Tisdale, Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery, Ann Wooten Taylor, and yours truly. Good night, y'all. Oh, Sunday Night Gold is coming up, so you don't want to miss that. I'll call you later, Dr. Sims. Oh boy. Hey Siri, call Kevin.